If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey, hey, hey.
I saw your tweet yesterday, and I yelled, "Get me Michael Tomasky!"
And I saw your tweet. That made me happy.
You tweeted, "They're bringing poop, they're bringing pee, they're bringing crying, and some of them, of course, are well-behaved."
It was a good tweet, but I messed up the quote a little bit, because if you recall, he said, somebody reminded me of this. He didn't say, "Of course." He said, "I assume."
I assume.
That would have been much better.
Right.
Some of them, I assume, are well-behaved.
Let
me correct the record here.
As you also tweeted, "Until this afternoon, I thought Trump attacks baby was the one headline that would continue to stand as parody." But no.
Now we have to wait for Trump kicks puppy.
Yes. No, I just said that yesterday. I said, Trump strangles kitten at rally. I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to imagine. But you also said 14 weeks to go, and by my count, 15 major ethnic groups not yet insulted. He'll have to squeeze in two during that last week.
Yeah, who's he going to hold back for that final week? I don't know.
I hate the Samoans.
Yes, fatties.
Must tell you folks.
Michael, I was saying your one tweet, though, that is scary. You said, "Just remember, a 30% chance that America might elect a fascist isn't necessarily all that reassuring."
Yeah.
That is true, right?
Nate Silver had it down to 15% yesterday, but even that is not so good. And, of course, it'll be back up at some point. You know, we're having a fun week on our side of the fence. But
I think Hitler got 33% of the vote.
Well, listen, Jim. This is Jim's our resident Hitler expert. By that, I don't mean fan. I just mean but you actually, as other people have pointed out, you say in your latest column, Mussolini and Hitler competed for votes. Hitler campaigned like a normal person in 1932, gave speeches to respected civic clubs, pandered to the business elite, just as politicians always do. And that's, again, they were democratically elected. People forget that, right?
They do, and that's why it's. I mentioned it by way of pointing out that it can be hard for people, not us, but like for regular people who have lives and other things.
Thank you, Michael. Yes.
And other preoccupations. It can be hard for people to recognize in real time what exactly is happening to their country historically.
Yeah.
And it's also hard for the other side to point that out, because it sounds to some people probably like Chicken Little and so on and so forth.
That's why you write so clearly about this week. You say the overwhelming reality of this race is this country might elect a genuine fascist. You say the odds are far greater he's never read a book in the last 50 years of his life, not even the ones he quote-unquote wrote. But some people become fascist through the mind. Others just have fascism in their bones. Donald Trump is the latter. Whatever else future students of journalism say about me, one thing they won't say is that I wasn't clear about where I stood on Trump. He must be defeated, preferably by a crushing, thoroughly conclusive margin. Even that is terrifying. I'm just reading a headline this morning, Michael, about that he's already doing this rigged thing. And, there's genuine fear about what's going to happen if he loses but doesn't concede and, gets the rubes riled up that the election was stolen, right?
Yeah. Who can picture him conceding in the normal way that politicians do? Out of curiosity, the other day, I went back and read Mitt Romney's concession speech. And, we know that Romney was shell-shocked. He expected that he was going to win.
Right.
We know that.
Right.
A lot of the speech was not so great, but, there was a very good and proper and commendable opening paragraph where he said, he called the president and he congratulated him and he wishes the president well and prays for him to, guide our country ably for the next 4 years or something like that. And that's what you do. That's what everybody does. But Trump isn't everybody.
No, a lot of firsts in this campaign, the president unequivocally, of course, saying that he is unfit to be commander-in-chief. And he said, as you were just saying, he said the same of Romney and McCain, that he never thought that they were not fit to serve. He would have been disappointed. But this is almost everything's unprecedented in this election year, right?
Yeah, totally. Everything is. And if it's a close election, if there's a dispute about, the outcome or voting irregularities, and also there have been pieces lately a very good one in The Beast this week about, you know, how voting machines can be hacked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's just all kinds of...
Gee, by who might have an interest in that? Russia, perhaps? Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, in a close disputed election, you know, he could create, you know, just chaos in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you also speculate, you say, you know, there could be enough at some point military and national security people to step in and say Trump as commander-in-chief is utterly unimaginable. Whatever you think of her, please, please vote for her. You mentioned maybe Colin Powell, who knows, Condi Rice, Tom Ridge, Robert Gates. Because I think that there is genuine terror in segments of the Republican Party as well.
Yeah, there is. And you know, certainly in the military establishment. I mean, I have to think, they're probably the last people on earth who want Donald Trump to be president.
Right.
And I do think that between now and November, a number of them will say so, and I think it can have...
Ooh. Was Michael Hayden, right, that he was speculated to be that he, yeah. Trump asked three times why we shouldn't use nukes if we have them? I mean, reminds you of your 8-year-old going, why can't I light the fireworks off in my hand? Why?
Yeah.
We have it. It's cool. It goes boom. I mean, it's...
Right. And do you think Trump has read, you know, a book about the history of nuclear weaponry?
No.
Do you think he's read a New York Times article about it? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. President, I'm not saying we won't get our hair mussed. I'm just saying 10 to 20 million dead tops.
Tops, right.
Depending on the breaks.
Michael, you also make a good point. You say something that conservatives do far better than liberals. They embrace defectors from the other side with open arms, while liberals default to position as one of suspicion and distrust. You say David Brock has been a liberal for nearly 20 years now, and for 10 has been moving heaven and earth to get Hillary in the White House, and obviously a lot of liberals still don't trust him, right?
Yeah. Do you agree with my assertion?
I do. Yeah. No, I do.
Yeah. It's really. I mean, conservatives. I don't know. It's something about the mindset and the psychology. I guess of conservatives feel like an embattled minority. So anybody who comes over to their side. Oh, yeah, welcome. You're one of us.
Yeah. I have a bunch. I mean, I used to debate Arianna Huffington back during the Clinton impeachment. She was, you know, obviously on the Republican side. And so I know for a second I was like, wait a minute. You know, but you know, what a powerful voice she's become. And obviously the Huff Post and all of that. And I think you're absolutely right about that.
Arianna's great. And, you know, I welcome all defections. You know,
well, and you know, I speak as someone whose dad has been, you know, ran with Goldwater's, you know, has been gone for 30 years. But, I just can't even imagine him embracing what his party has become.
No, I'm sure not. You know, I'll take your word for that one, but I'm certain you're right about that.
It's interesting. You also wrote a piece, The Impossibility of a Leftist Trump. You say it looks for now like the Democrats' version of Morning in America is working, especially against Mr. Midnight in America. But I guess you're talking about trying to bring more people over, right? And try, because obviously there is Hillary derangement syndrome out there, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Ross Douth out of the Times wrote this column and then this series of tweets where he said, you know, I would ask liberals to imagine a reverse situation where the Democrats have nominated somebody completely unacceptable.
Right, a Trump of the left.
Right. And so, like, I fished around in my mind for prospects, and the best I could come up with was Sean Penn. other people tweeted at me that it might, you know, it could be like Michael Moore, or it could be, you know, I don't know, maybe Cornel West, somebody suggested. But, like, the point is, the Democratic primary voters would never elect one of those people, ever.
Right.
So, like, you know, it's just, there is no Trump of the left. So his hypothetical just collapses.
But this is, you know, my point. It goes to my dad, and I think your point, too. You say Democrats have cantered a bit to the left, but the Republicans have galloped to the right like Secretariat on crack.
Yeah.
I know, these past 8 years of birther conspiracies and racially coded barbs at the moocher class president, they led their voters to a point where those voters thought voting for Donald Trump was a sensible and defensible thing. You say, if I were on the right, I'd spend a lot more time examining why that happened than I would analyzing Hillary's imperfections. Yeah, and I agree. That's what I mean. There's been a lot of pieces, you know, rest in peace, GOP. I mean, they built this. Donald Trump didn't come out of nowhere, right?
Exactly right. So if he loses, you know, the next day there's going to be the postmortems and the recriminations, and they're going to say, I guarantee you, most of them are going to say, oh, this was an aberration. This was a weird fever that took over some portions of the party, and we can get back to being normal. No, this was a manifestation of everything you folks have been saying for the last 8 years.
Right, right. Michael, great stuff. What a year, right? And we let's imagine that the latest Onion headline come to life with Donald Trump.
He's going to put them out of business.
Yeah, exactly. There is no such thing. Parody's dead. Michael, great stuff. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chief.
There he goes. Michael Tomasky. Fantastic writer. Okay.